Welcome, and thank you for streaming this sermon. At Heritage Baptist Church, we believe that the Word of God and the Gospel of Jesus can truly change lives. So it is our hope and prayer that this service stirs up your affection for Christ and helps you to draw closer to Him. For more information, please visit hbchaslett.org.
Well, I invite you to take your Bible and turn to John chapter 15. I wrote out some remarks. Hope you'll understand. I didn't want to forget anybody and didn't know how emotional I'll be or have been. I want you all to know how much we love you guys. I told someone earlier today, understand what I mean by this, but it would almost be easier to leave wrong. Because if I wanted to leave you and you wanted me to leave, it may be easier just to say, hey, go, and we wouldn't come back and slam the door in our face. But it's a really special thing, and I'm thankful, so thankful for our church. I'm so thankful for you guys. I want to tell you, church, thankful for your love, for your kindness, for your generosity toward our family. Specifically, wanted to thank a few people. I want to thank Pastor. Pastor, thank you for being my friend. Thank you for being a faithful counselor in my life and for being a real, true, and close friend. I appreciate it. I love you, Pastor. I want to thank our church staff of the privilege of laboring alongside each of you, trying to look at and make eye contact with you guys and appreciate you guys. And we've had lots of fun, and it's been a joy serving the Lord with you all. I want to say thank you to our church family for your love and your encouragement to my family and to me. And we love you dearly, and I'm so thankful that you all love us, and thank you for the love you've shown us. You know, this has been home. This has been home to our family for 8 years. Jared was 2 in the nursery when he came. Chase was 10 months. Kelsey hadn't discovered America yet. And so this is all Kelsey knows, and really it's all Chase knows, and it's really mostly all that Jared remembers. You've loved our kids, and you've loved Julie, and you loved me, and we could not say thank you enough for that. Thank you for allowing us to serve your families. It's been a privilege to serve you all. Leadership is great, but you don't lead until you have the opportunity to serve people. Once you have the opportunity to serve them, you have the opportunity to lead them. And I think that's kind of one of the hardest things about going to pastoring is going in and the relationship I have with you all and the ability I have to say, let's try this, and you want to do it because you know us. Going to a new church, they don't know us. And so the reservation, the walls up there. And so kind of starting over again, which is exciting in a lot of ways. And of course, it's difficult in a lot of ways. So thank you for church, just for allowing us to serve you. Thank you for being our friends. Thank you for being a faithful example of Christian love and generosity. I'd say this, thank you for putting up with my enthusiasm. And thank you for putting up with my fast talking all these years. You've been so kind in that. Thank you for your response to the Word of God as I've had chances to preach and teach, and thank you for responding. To the graduates of our youth department, I want to say thank you for faithfully striving to live for the Lord. I know you guys are sitting in different places. You'll never know what it does for Julie and my heart when we see the college age and single adults and career, those of you guys we've had a chance to have in the youth department. You'll never know what it does for us. Amen. The Bible says, we live if ye stand. And I'll talk to teenagers in a second, but college graduates, please understand, college students and graduates and those who have been in the youth department, as you live your life for the Lord, our life is able to continue. And so what encouragement is that you've stayed faithful, and I hope you always stay faithful to the Lord. To the parents of the teenagers, thank you for so generously allowing Julie and I to minister to, serve alongside of you, come alongside parents, and to travel all across the country and even to other nations with your teenagers. Your trust and care for us is greatly appreciated, and we want you to know how much we love and we thank the Lord for each of you. To the teenagers, thanks for loving and encouraging our family. We love you all dearly. We love you guys dearly. Thank you for being faithful to church. Thank you for striving to be friendly to others and for faithfully working to be a witness to the lost all across our area. I don't know of any, but probably not many churches have a youth group like we do. And I don't say that because my wife and I, or because of Tyler, because of Brother Juan and Ms. Eva. That's not why I say it. God sent some special in this place. And to have a group of teenagers that want to wake up after being in school all week long and playing sports and doing everything and want to come out in visitation and want to go out and just say, Brother Jesse, what are we doing today? Not really have an opinion, but say whatever you want to do, Brother Jesse, right, guys? That's an inside joke you have to get for the boys. Appreciate it, Micah and Jar and Jimmy and everyone else who says that to me. Appreciate that. What a great group! What a great group of teenagers! I want to tell you, thank you for responding to the preaching and teaching of God's word. And I'd say there's a special place in our hearts for you guys, and that will never change. Tonight, I really want to speak a message that will be the most encouraging to you as a church. I really want to be a blessing to you. And so I just want to take you a little bit on the journey that God's taken us through. And so John chapter 15, realizing this, the church is a group of baptized believers who have voluntarily joined themselves together to carry the Great Commission. So we talk about when this person's saved, we use different words to describe them. We may use the word saved, or the word born again, or the word a believer, or the word Christian. But there's a specific word I want to speak about tonight. It's a word we don't use very often. It seems we throw the word Christian around a whole lot, but this word we don't throw around a whole lot. This is the word. It's discipleship. Disciple. So tonight, my message is very simply this. It's a question. Are you his disciple? Are you his disciple? John chapter 15 and verse number 1, the Bible says this. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch of me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Verse 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. May tonight God challenge our hearts with this question. Are you his disciple? Let's have a word of prayer, may we? Father, I love this place. I love these people. I love my friends and my staff that I have a chance to serve with, my pastor and his family. But Lord, anything, I love you, and I'm so thankful that you allowed me to be a preacher. And I'm thankful for the Word of God, Lord, tonight. And Father, as we open the Word of God and as we discuss it, as we talk about it, as we try to exposit it, Lord, I pray tonight that you would encourage the hearts of our church members as you've encouraged and challenged my heart. Lord, I pray tonight that you do a stretching work that only you can do. And Lord, I pray that, Lord, when tonight's over, that all of us would desire to give you the glory for our lives. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. John chapter 15, so a little bit of background. The Lord Jesus Christ has just finished up the Last Supper. He's been in there. He'd washed the disciples' feet, and he's talked to them, and Judas walked out. And he's getting ready to go to the Garden of Gethsemane, where he's about to labor in prayer while the disciples sleep. On the way there, he's speaking to his disciples, and John chapter 15 is what he says to them. One of the things he says to them. And he talks to them about being disciples. Now, a question for you is this. Are they his disciples? Yes. But discipleship isn't a word we use lightly. Many people would say, I'm a Christian. I'm a member of a church. I'm born again. I'm saved. And I would say that most, if not everybody in this room, would say they're a born-again Christian. But when we talk about being a disciple, that's a little bit more serious. That's a little bit more, okay, let's consider this. I want to make sure I'm truthful with my answer. I want you to know that I don't know exactly when it happened, but at some point in my life, about a year or two ago, God began to really challenge my heart with this question. And the question was, am I a true disciple? I'm a follower of Jesus. I love the Lord. I'm a preacher. I'm born again. But God began to challenge my heart and ask me this question. Jesse, are you a true disciple of him? And discipleship is this. Look at verse number 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciple. Let's walk through verse 1 and let's go through and see what God's saying here. And we have this beautiful example here. It says in verse number 1, I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. You hear the word fruit a lot, don't you? We have this vine. There's over in Hampton, over in England, there's a place called the Great Vine. I don't know if anybody's ever seen it before. Not grapevine, but the Great Vine. And the Great Vine is huge. It's humongous. And it has an entire like greenhouse, and all the branches are there. And on those branches, they mine, if you would, grapes. Beautiful grapes. Clusters of grapes. And it's very interesting. The Lord tells us about being a vine. The Bible says, I am the true vine. And he says, my Father's a husbandman. And then he says to us, we're branches. So I have a question for you. If you're a branch and you're connected to a vine, what is the branch's job? It only has one job, right? Produce fruit. The branch can be really pretty looking, but if it's not producing fruit, the branch is going to be purged. The branch can be doing a great job. It may think it's doing a great job, but if there's no fruit, they're going to cut the branch off, because branches are there to be connected to the vine and to bear fruit. So God says in verse number 2, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it. Purging is not always a fun process, is it? Why would you take, and I can relate this to a rose bush. We've had rose bushes at our homes. And it's so interesting. You cut a rose bush back, and a lot of times you cut and you're thinking, why would I cut it back? It looks like it's going to... But when you cut it back, in just a few days, you have multiple roses, beautiful roses. And you think, well, I understand why it had to be purged. See, in our lives, we have to be purged. And if we want to produce fruit and more fruit, God has to purge us. God has to allow things in our life to be removed that keep us from producing fruit as we should. God has to take a branch and say, hey, you know, you're not producing fruit as you should, so I'm gonna purge some things out of your life that shouldn't be there because they're taking life that I'm trying to give. And so in verse number 3, he says, now you're clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Verse number 4 says, abide in me and I in you. How can we understand what it means to be connected to the vine? It's really a simple word. The word is abide. Abide. What does the word abide mean? It's a really difficult definition. Continue. Stay. Dwell. Endure. Remain. Stand. Tarry. Listen to this one. Be present. You know what the Bible's trying to say? If I want to bear fruit, I just simply have to stay connected to the vine. And see, here's the thing about the Christian life. We try to make it so complicated. In churches, what we do in so many churches across the country is that we try to do everything we possibly can to produce fruit to the neglect of just being connected to the vine. And I know this in my own life. When I try to do things, there are sometimes where I may seemingly have fruit, but it's not fruit if it's not connected to the vine. It's not the kind of fruit God desires. And so what God wants to do through our life is simply this, to abide in him. To abide. The Bible says, abide in me and I in you. And here's what the Bible says, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. Question for you, church. How many times have we tried to produce fruit apart from being connected to the vine? How many times have we taught our Sunday school classes without being connected to the vine and trying to do it on our own? How many times have we tried to love our spouse without being connected to the vine? How many times have we tried to treat our kids and teach them without simply just abiding in the vine? How many times have we tried to win a person to Jesus Christ without realizing we can't do it, Jesus has to? And so he says in verse number 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. See, when we read that verse, I put my own words in there. I would put it this way. Without me, I can do less. Without the Lord, I can do not as much as I could. But the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says if I'm not abiding in Jesus, if I'm not connected to Jesus, I can accomplish nothing. I want you to know something. Sometimes in marriage, things get difficult. Sometimes in child rearing, things get difficult. Sometimes in the Christian life, you feel like you just can't figure it out. And we try to do everything we possibly can. And I just want to encourage you tonight, church, the way to have fruit in your life, in your marriage, in your family, in your ministry, in this church, is simply by abiding. Amen. Abiding in Christ and Christ abiding in us. Verse number 6, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. In verse number 8, I can just imagine Jesus looking at his disciples and saying, you want to glorify the Father? He says, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. And then he says to them, so shall ye be my disciples. The key to God's inexhaustible riches is given to those who abide in Christ and who allow his word to abide in them. See, it's so important for us. We think that the Word of God's important. We all agree on that. But the reality is, the way that we abide with Jesus is a two-way communication. We can pray and he speaks to us. Abiding in Christ is on a daily basis, having a relationship with Jesus. Not just saying his name and not just talking to him and asking him for things, but having a relationship with him. Allowing his word to be in us. And it's his words in us and our words in him. The Bible says, we ask what you will. God answers our prayers because he changes our desires. And so the work of God is just amazing. If you take your Bible, jump over to John chapter 12, just a few chapters back. And I want you to see a verse that God has been using in my life in a big way. John chapter 12 and verse 23. Jesus answered them saying, "The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified." They wanted to see Jesus. They wanted to see the Son of God. But He hadn't been glorified yet. What He came to accomplish wasn't finished yet. I'm sure they were thinking, what do we need to see to you see you glorified, Jesus? And He says in verse 24, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." Wow. I want you to know, church, that God's been challenging my heart with that. See, the Bible says a corn of wheat, a seed, if you would. I have a pack of seeds right here of corn, and they're not really anything special. They're in a package. And you can say, wow, this seed could produce a lot of fruit, right? Sure could. But guess what? Unless it dies, it's going to produce nothing. So God says this, "Except a corn of wheat fall on the ground, it abideth alone. But if it die, produces much fruit." Can I tell you the problem with many of our lives, and I'm going to include myself in this, is that there are so many Christians whose life they're holding on to, and they're a seed that God wants to take as a branch, and He wants to do something with your life. But the problem is, we're not allowing the Lord to plant us. We are holding back our life. Look at verse number 25. "He that loveth his life shall lose it. And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal." Verse 26. "If a man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall ye all, and there shall also my servants be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor." Let's go back in our Bibles to the book of Matthew, if you don't mind. Matthew chapter number 16. Matthew 16, we could cross-reference this all day. We're not going to do that, but I just want to show you another reference to this verse. Matthew chapter number 16 and verse number 24. Bible says, "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it." Verse 26. "For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Jesus says to his disciples, to his followers, "Hey, look, if you want to come after me, the first prerequisite for coming after me," and as soon as I say the word, some of us in this room are going to say, "Well, I can't do it." Jesus says, "If anyone come after me, you'll be my disciple." The very first thing He says to do is let him deny himself. Why does that have to be first? Why do I have to deny myself first? Then He says, "Take up your cross." And you're thinking, man, I'd rather have to take up the cross first. But listen, we'll never take up the cross if we haven't denied ourselves first. There's no reason to take up a cross. There's no reason to identify with Jesus Christ and His death. There's no reason to if we haven't first realized what He expects from us. See, God says this, if a corn of wheat abides, it abideth alone. But if it die, Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, the Bible says, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me." Romans chapter 6 talks about, hey, once we yielded ourselves to sin, now we have to yield ourselves to God. Colossians chapter 3 says it this way, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth." Then He says, "For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." Romans chapter 12 says it to us this way, "I beseech you therefore, brethren." By the way, let me stop for just a second. When a person talks about surrendering their all to God, for some reason we all get the mindset that he's talking to preachers, that he's talking to missionaries, that he's talking to people who are like super sold out to Him. And I just want to help you guys with what God's been challenging me. I'm not the pastor of this church. God's given me a tremendous privilege to serve with our pastor and to learn so much. But I don't mean this to be disrespectful, pastor. Pastor's not a super Christian. His yieldedness to Jesus is what makes God use him. There's no super Christians. We're not born with the special gene. Here's what God says. If you want your life to be used, deny yourself. What does it mean to deny ourselves? Well, let me say what discipleship is not. Discipleship does not mean perfection. No one in here is perfect. Some of you all, I may know a little bit about your past. Most of you, I don't know your past, and you don't know my past. But can I tell you something? Discipleship does not mean perfection. Discipleship does not mean full-time Christian ministry. The Bible says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that ye present your bodies. Who's he talking to? He's talking to the people in the church. He's talking to people in Rome who were born again Christians. Amen. We're supposed to give our lives a living sacrifice. Discipleship does not mean being a deacon or a Sunday school teacher. Discipleship means being a committed, faithful, and fruit-bearing follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 through 16, the Bible says, ye are the salt of the earth. If the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing but to be cast and to be trodden under the foot of men. It says in verse 14, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. God says, how is my Father glorified? That you bear much fruit. What's he trying to tell us? You know what's interesting about our lives? People can so easily look at others and think, man, that's a person God used. Man, that's a person. I wonder what's different about them. And I want you guys to know something, that any person who's greatly used to God was just a little kernel. They were just a seed. And there came a day in their life when they realized that they could not live the Christian life without him. There came a day in their life where they realized, I'm a branch. I can't be the kind of husband. And you know what? You can work and work and work. Wives, you can work to be the most godly, loving, submissive wife you could possibly be. And guess what? It'll never happen. You'll never get to where you need to be. Because it's supernatural. It's not something you and I can do in ourselves. But here's my challenge for you. And I'm not going to make too big of a mess. But here's what I think. Many, many of us are living our lives and we're just a bunch of seeds. And those seeds will do absolutely nothing where they're at. Can we put it this way? Those seeds are good for nothing. But the exact same seed, if that seed, the Bible says this, but if it die, what does it mean to die? You know, there's a day in every Christian's life, or there should be, when they come to the realization that they can't live the Christian life. There's a day in your life, if it hasn't happened, it should be tonight, I hope it is, that you realize, hey, look, I can't be the husband, I can't be the wife, I can't be the father. Teenagers, you're never going to be good enough. We live in a world where everything's all about peer pressure, and it's never going to work. You're never going to be the good enough employee. You're never going to please everybody. And the moment you finally realize, hey, I can't do this, I can just imagine God in heaven smiling and saying, it's about time. And God says, if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. I love this church. I love you all. And I want you to know something. You know what happened for me? There came a day in my life where God said, hey, Jesse, you're producing some fruit. But I'm going to purge you, Jesse. And he began to purge my life. He began to do some special stuff in my heart. And he began to put some desires there. Here's the reason why. Not because Jesse Ladd is anything. Believe me, if you know me, I'm nothing. But I know that God says if you're a Christian, you should be producing fruit, more fruit, much fruit, fruit that remains. And you say, yes, that's true. You're a pastor. No. No, every one of us should be doing that. So church, I have this question for you. How do you get to be the disciple? Number one, you have to be saved. There's no discipleship apart from salvation. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, you will never be a disciple of him. Because you don't have a home in heaven. Listen, Jesus Christ loved you so much that he came to earth, he lived a perfect sinless life and died on the cross for you to be saved. If you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, you're not good enough to get to heaven. You never can be because you're a sinner and your sin separates you from God. If you're here tonight and don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, I hope tonight will be the night of your salvation. If you're a Christian and you're saved, secondly, you have to have a passionate daily walk with the Lord. It has to be there. If his word's not abiding in us and we're not abiding in him, we will never produce the fruit God desires for our lives. We will be just a bunch of seeds with so much potential and not accomplishing what God wants for us. Number three, we must surrender to the Lord. Choose daily, listen to this, to die. To die to what? To die to my plans. To die to my promotions. To die to myself. To die to my ambitions. To die to my passions. So that's not fun. And here's the thing. If you think about what you're giving up, it can be kind of disheartening. But could you stop for just a second and think about what Jesus Christ gave up for you? And when you think about who Jesus is, we're not giving up anything. We're just simply allowing Him to be the vine, and we're just branches. Number four, to glorify God by producing fruit. So church, I have this question for you. Are you His disciple? I want you to answer the question. Let's see your fruit. Let's see my fruit. Discipleship is this, following Jesus, yes. And you say, is it just about winning people to Jesus? No. Galatians chapter 5 talks about the fruit of the Spirit. You may say, I'm just not the Christian. No matter how hard I try, I'll never be good enough. No, you won't. And the moment you throw your hands up in the white flag and say, I can't do it, you might say to your spouse, look, I've tried, but I can't be what you want me to be. That's good. You can't. But God can through your life. Amen. I need the life of Jesus Christ flowing through me. I need to produce fruit. But I can never produce fruit without the life of the Eternal One flowing through me. You cannot be faithful without being fruitful. They go together. I'm going to close with these verses, and I'll read them to you. Philippians chapter 1, verse 7 through 11. This is my prayer for you all. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, insomuch as both in my bonds and the defense and confirmation of the gospel. Philippians 1 is where I'm at. Ye all are partakers of my grace, for God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense the day of Christ. Verse 11, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. Families, folks, teenagers, children, people who we love dearly, if I could give one last message to you, it's this. God wants to use your life in a big way. I don't care if you're 6 or if you're 60 or you're 80. There needs to become your time in your life where you realize I'm just a branch. And if I get connected to the vine, and tonight, I pray that some people in this room will realize it's not about winning, it's about losing. It's about surrendering to Jesus Christ and saying, Lord, I want to be the best businessman I can possibly be. I want to be the best, whatever your job is. And whatever it is, God wants to be the vine, and He just wants you to be a branch. And if you'll do that, He will be glorified as you produce much fruit. Pastor.
On behalf of our church and staff, thank you for listening to this sermon. For more sermons and more information about our church, please visit hbchazlett.org.